Good evening, everybody. So, as most of you know, last week a bunch of us went up to a cabin, and I have to say that I had a really good time. But it was really nice because we got to talk to each other and we were open with each other. We talked about things that we liked, things that we didn't like. We talked about how people look at us and how we are perceived. And at one point, Sunday nights got brought up, and someone described what we were doing, specifically what I'm doing, as more of a giving a testimony than giving a lesson. And I have to admit, I kind of like that word better than a lesson, because I don't feel like I'm trying to teach you anything. I'm just up here talking about something that's very important to me, and thinking of it as a testimony makes it less scary being up here. And when I'm done, you'll understand why that's funny. So last time I was up here, I talked a little bit about fear being a motivator. I kind of just hinted at it. And then afterwards, everyone complimented me on my confidence being up here. Felt really good to hear that, although I didn't feel too confident at the time. I was scared, and to be honest, I'm a little scared being up here right now. Mainly because there's a lot of you staring at me, and that makes me uncomfortable. That puts me out of my comfort zone, so. They say the top two things people are afraid of is public speaking and death, in that order, which means that people would rather die than speak in public. And a lot of people come to some sort of agreement, and they like to think that there are only really two emotions. That's love and fear, and that all other emotions can be categorized in one of these two emotions. I don't personally agree with that, but it shows you how important fear is, that it's on the same level as love, or some people would compare it as. Fear can be a great motivator. Like I said before, it can wake you up, it can keep you focused on the world around you, and it can make you do things you weren't willing to do before. But fear can also be a source of entertainment. Like on Halloween, some people like to dress up, go see scary movies, go to scary theme parks, or even go to places considered haunted. And they can be exhilarating, but fear, like most things, is only good in small doses. Too much fear and it can take a hold of you, and it can have power over you. Have you ever been paralyzed by fear? It sucks. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew what the right thing to do was, but fear kept you from doing it? Or worse, have you ever been in a situation with friends and felt God tugging on your heartstrings, but you chose to ignore him because you were afraid of what might happen if you listened to him? So, let's talk about the first instance of fear that we can go back to, and that would be the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They were given everything, but they were told one thing they weren't allowed to do was eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were deceived and ate of it, and with that came the knowledge that they were naked. So they clothed themselves, and when they heard God, they hid because they were afraid. They never had a reason to feel fear from God before this instance. And the only thing that changed was they had gained knowledge. And that is the reason, because fear is a byproduct of knowledge. We experience fear based on our knowledge. We are afraid of what might happen in the future, because we think we have an inkling of what might happen. Or even we're afraid of the unknown because of the very fact that we don't know what could happen, and that scares us. And the term ignorance is bliss comes to mind when I think of things like this, because we think we could be happy if we just didn't know about the unknown. But being happy doesn't keep you safe from what is out in the world. Whether or not you're afraid of something, it doesn't mean that you are protected from it. Bad things happen regardless whether or not you are ready or not, scared or unaware of it. So, if you will, if you want to follow with me, you don't have to. I'm going to be in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read 30 through 41, so it's going to be quite a bit. I'm specifically going to talk about some disciples experiencing fear. Okay. And Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall I use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the words to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything without using a parable, but later, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. Later that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go out over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, he took along just as he was in the boat. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping in a cushion. The disciples woke him, saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the winds, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The winds died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obeyed him." Now, in the beginning, you can tell Jesus was doing a lot of things, and he still had an earthly form, so you could tell that he needs to sleep and eat. So when he gets in the boat, the first thing he does, he goes to sleep. But like it said, the storm came, and his disciples, some of his disciples were fishermen before this, so the idea that they thought they were going to drown shows the severity of this storm. They were afraid, but Jesus just wakes up, calms the storm, and then their fear goes from being afraid of the storm to being afraid of the power that Jesus had. Now I'm also going to read Matthew chapter 14, starting in 25. Just to explain what's going on before this, this was when Jesus fed the 5,000, and he sends his disciples ahead of him on a boat, and he goes up to the mountain to pray, but he comes back down, and I'll start reading now. Okay. "Shortly before the dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it is you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come out onto the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" And here's another instance of disciples being afraid, just like in before they were afraid of the storm, and then here again they're afraid of a ghostly figure. Because they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know whether or not they were going to live through the storm. And they didn't know what they were seeing on the lake. They were both afraid of the known and the unknown in these two examples. But Jesus calms them, and he shows them his power. And also in this instant, Peter instantly gets the idea to join Jesus on the water, seeing him walking. And through Peter's faith, he walked on the water. But through fear, Peter started to sink, and he needed Jesus' help. Faith, like a mustard seed, is small, but it can grow into something huge. All Peter did was believe. This small act led him to do something huge. All it took was doubt and fear to make it all come down. And in both of these instances, Jesus was surprised that his disciples, how little to none faith that they had. They let the fear of what they could not understand rule their hearts, even though Jesus was right there at their side. So I, like a lot of you, have my own fears. And I've probably spent way too much of my time afraid of little things, afraid of things like what people think of me, afraid of how I should act, afraid that people won't like me, afraid that I'll lose the people that are important to me, even just afraid to be open with others. And all these fears can make a person anxious. I struggle with these fears, and I struggle with the unknown of what the future might hold. I struggle with the things I think know might happen, or the things that I don't know might happen. I've been afraid that I might be rejected by others. I've been afraid that others might hurt me. So it's been easier just to build a wall and keep people out. I worry about the what-ifs in my life, and I let the fear of the unknown cloud my judgment. I let the fear of what I might have done wrong blind me from what matters. And lastly, I'm afraid that I might miss the mark with my testimony tonight on things when I'm trying to convey in this message. That's my list of fears, and I'm sure you have yours as well. But there's something very important missing from my list, and that's the fear of God. It honestly should be the number one thing on my list. God created all things. All of my fears are just things, and like everything else in the world, it's what He created, and He has mastery over. Everything here is temporary. All of my fears, wants, desires, they are all temporary. God is the eternal. So why do we fixate our fears on things that will not matter and ignore the only thing that does matter? Storms come and go. The unknown doesn't matter. What matters is the fear that we have disappointed God, the fear that we have sinned against God, and the fear that we have strayed away from God. These are the fears that truly matter. Now, I'm just going to read these two quick scriptures. One's in Proverbs, and it says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And also in Philippians, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and in peace which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're afraid of earthly things because we have knowledge. We think this knowledge gives us insight. But God transcends our understanding of our fears and is above them. Through faith and trust in God, we can conquer this fear. As long as we trust in God and put Him first, we will have peace. But that's easier said than done. It's easy to say that you love and trust God, but what does that really mean? In those two scriptures, it says, in all ways acknowledge Him. And it also says, in every situation. It's not enough to say that you love God. You have to actually mean it. You have to live it. Every day, not just when it suits you. When I said God was should be your number one list of fears, I really meant God should be your number one list, or should be the number one thing on your mind. In all your list, it should be God first. When you go out into the world, he should be the first thing on your mind. When fear or doubt or life comes in your way, it should be God you are thinking of, not focusing on your own knowledge or your own understanding. And how do you keep focusing on God? By praying, by reading your Bible, by stopping your life and focusing on what's important. It took me a while to realize that, but through plenty of people here tonight, it's made that a lot easier for me. And what I have found out is that it's easy to be afraid when you are alone. It's easy to be scared when you think that it's all up to you. But truly, we are not alone when we accept Christ into our lives. We acknowledge that God has been there the whole time, there watching for us. But even then, we are not alone. Why do we come to the same building in fellowship with one another? It's because we are not alone. We are God's children, and we are united in love for God. The retreat that we went to last weekend really helped me understand this fact. I don't have to be afraid of letting important godly people in. I have friends here in this building that I don't have to be afraid of what they think of me, because they love me regardless. And that's truly special. I'll still find myself being scared, because fear is a natural thing. It's something we all experience. But I trust God to take care of me. And the only way he'll take care of me is by putting him first in my life. And if God isn't first in your life, then you need to open your eyes and realize what's important. And I'll end tonight with something that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you in power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and know that is his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. As long as we have Christ and we have each other, we should have nothing to fear.
Weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory.